As you're getting settled in, would you turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16? The Gospel according to Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. And as you're going there, I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you experienced complete silence? When was the last time? And I'm talking like more than 5 to 10 minutes. And I work with students, so if you're thinking like, well, can I find a loophole there to sleep count? Sleep's not on the table here. I'm talking about you're consciously awake. When was the last time you experienced 5 to 10 minutes of just complete silence? The fact is, we live busy, noisy lives. You think about it. Throughout the span of a day, you wake up and immediately you're approached with notifications. Work, friends, family, and then that cycle continues on throughout the day. You go to work and you're interacting with people. On your social media accounts, you're on and off interacting with folks. You're texting, you're calling, you're emailing, and the process goes on. And then when you want to take a break and you want to wind down and have some downtime, what do? Boop, turn on something. And we fill our room with noise. We listen to more music. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm just saying we live a noisy life. And then towards the end of the day, before we go to sleep, some of us, and you're not in the wrong for doing this, because I get it, we fall asleep, and one of the last things we see is a screen. Noise, noise, noise. We read The Grinch recently, and there's a line where the Grinch is saying, noise, 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 all here is noise. And our life is full of noise. And it's no wonder we want a vacation. And then sometimes those vacations need a vacation when we get back from that vacation, right? Can I get an amen for all the parents in the room? Yeah, yeah. We live busy lives and we want a break. We want silence. We want solitude. And that's why today I'm going to be talking about the disciplines of silence and solitude as it pertains to being spiritual disciplines for the Christian. There's a guy named Donald Whitney, and he wrote this book called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And he defines these two different disciplines we're covering today as such. Silence is defined as the temporary abstention from speaking so that certain goals might be sought. And then we have solitude. He defines solitude as the spiritual discipline of temporarily withdrawing to privacy for spiritual purposes. And this period could last from a few minutes to even a day. And the purpose of these disciplines is to spend uninterrupted time away from the busyness and the noise of life so we can be with God. So as we think about these things, the person that we see this most clearly in is the person of Jesus. He would get away from the busyness of ministry. He would be exhausted, and he would seclude himself away from all these things so that he could be with his heavenly Father. So if you're there with me, we're in Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. Let's go to our text as we read God's word. It says, "But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, that you offer it to us graciously. You speak to us kindly, and you draw us and you call us to be drawn back to yourself, so that we would know our true identity, our true meaning, and our true purpose in this life. God, I pray that today you would speak loudly through your word, that you would highlight things in each and every one of our lives that you want us to hear, you want us to take away from your word personally, and that ultimately, at the end of the day, when this service is through, we would desire to be more like you, Jesus. That's our goal. That's our heart. God, speak through the preaching of your word. We love you and pray this in your name. Amen. So the first thing I want us to see is that silence and solitude gets us ready to be with people. And you can find that in verse 15. So go back with me there. Look at verse 15. It says this. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. So here we read that Jesus has been preaching the word and gathering a crowd. But not only has he been preaching, but he's also been healing those who are sick. And they would come to him desiring that he would completely heal and take away their infirmities. Now, anyone who's ever done any public speaking knows the feeling you get as you're doing public speaking. There's this kind of mode you go into. And I was curious about this because after doing a sermon, it's like you have to reorient yourself to engaging in conversation with people. You get down from this mode. Anybody that's played a sport or ever acted or anything like that, you're in this mode. And there's actually something that goes on in the brain. There's a part of the brain, let me get this right, it's hypothalamus. It is a part of your brain. And here's what it's responsible for. There's a guy, his name is Cliff Dumas. He's an award-winning broadcaster. And here's how he describes what this part of your brain does. He says, the hypothalamus activates and triggers the pituitary glands to secrete the hormone ACTH in your kidney. And this hormone stimulates the ACTH comes up, and then the hormone, the adrenal glands in your kidney are stimulated, and this results in adrenaline being pumped through your blood. So there is something going on that feels a little crazy in the mind and the body as you're doing this. And this kind of thing can be exhausting if done over a long period of time. This is one of the reasons why a game for an athlete feels different than a scrimmage or a practice, is because the hypothalamus is just raised to an intense level, and you feel all the adrenaline in your body. And so there's a lot going on in the mind. There's a lot going on in the body. And not only is this happening, but also with Jesus, he is preaching to these crowds, and there's people who are demon-possessed coming to him. There's spiritual warfare going on. And so when someone's preaching the word of God, there are things that can go on, lies that can be spoken by the enemy to the person preaching the word or teaching the Bible in the Sunday school class or leading any kind of study through the scriptures. There's a spiritual warfare that goes on, and there's lies that can be easily believed. And so Jesus preaching to these crowds, the demons knowing he is the Son of God, he's the Messiah, the Christ, is exhausted physically from not only healing people, but also preaching the scriptures. This is a reality of what goes on. And so Jesus, because he is God, come down to be a man, suffers and endures the suffering just like we do in this broken, fallen world. And he needs to get away to have silence and solitude. But not only was Jesus preaching, but he was healing people. Just a few verses earlier, if you look at your Bible in chapter 15, look there with me in verses 12 through 14, you see a man who had a disease called leprosy. And leprosy is not something you see commonly nowadays, but leprosy was a contagious skin disease. And anyone who touched someone with leprosy was likely to also get this disease. And here's what Jesus does. Verse 13. This man had asked him, could he be healed? And Jesus stretched out his hand and immediately said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. So not only is Jesus not affected by the leprosy, but he cleanses the man who has leprosy. And word, of course, goes out to the people. Have you heard of this man Jesus from Nazareth? He's healing people. And so word goes out, and more the crowds press against him. And more he has to find a way to get away from these crowds. Now, some of you may be familiar with the TV show The Chosen. In one of the episodes, towards the end of that episode, he had just been healing long lines of people who came to him with their sicknesses. And at the end of the episode, you see Jesus walking by his disciples, and he is completely exhausted. And he lays down in his tent while his mother, Mary, cares for him. Jesus, in his humanity, is still susceptible to all the things that we face. Exhaustion, fatigue, headaches, frustration. You see that if you read the scriptures, Jesus does get frustrated at times. He gets upset. He needs time away to be with his Father and to rest and have that silence. Jesus needed that, and even more, we need that too. We need to find silence and solitude so that we can be with people when God calls us to be with people again. Second thing I want us to see this morning comes from verse 16. So if you turn your attention back there, what I want you to see in verse 16 is that silence and solitude builds up the inner person. Now you may be thinking, what is the inner person? The inner person is the spiritual side of us. It's the unseen part of who we are. And the Bible speaks that this is highly valuable and something we should pay attention to. So look at verse 16 with me. It says, but he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. So not only would he go away, but he would spend time intentionally with God praying as he found silence and solitude. Now Jesus had his ministry ministering to the public, but here we see that Jesus has his ministry in private with his heavenly Father. And the CSB Study Bible says this about this section of Scripture. On one hand, large crowds would come hear him preach and they were healed. On the other hand, Jesus often sought out remote places where he could pray without interruption. I don't know about you, but anytime I go to pray and I have some intentional prayers I want to bring before the Lord, you know what happens the first 5 minutes of my time in prayer? I'm just trying to focus. I've got all these thoughts coming in my head, and I'm thinking, oh, what's for dinner? You know, what do I have on the agenda today? You know, what's going on? Do I need to update my computer? Just silly stuff, right? That just keeps popping in. And so for the first 5 minutes, I just got to focus in and get my attention on where it needs to be directed. And this is one of the reasons why we can't do prayer with God very well in a busy place. And we've got to leave and spend some silence with the Lord and spend some solitude away from the busyness and the noise that continues to crowd in around us. And not only are we easily distracted, but if we're honest, we love the noise, right? How often do you get in your car and immediately, I'm guilty of this too, boom, let's see what's on. Let's listen to a podcast. You get home, let's flip something on. It's just constant. It's a part of our culture, right? We just fill the room with noise. And so we have all this noise distracting us. And Donald Whitney says it this way. He says, many of us need to realize the addiction that we have to noise. We just have this addiction, this fascination. As if we don't have noise filling our ears or noise from stimulation in front of us, that we're going to have to like consider things that are heavy and difficult in life. Maybe that distraction for you here this morning is you don't want to deal with the hard parts of life, so you distract yourself with lighter, fluffy things. Maybe that's it. And we've seen this with an uptick in technology over the past 20 years. We have distracted ourselves. And as 2 Kings or 1 Kings 19 says, God speaks to us in a low whisper. Think about that. That's intentional. God knew thousands of years ago this is the way he needed to speak to us so that we would silence and stop all of this noise from being broadcasted to us. If we're going to hear from God, if we're going to hear the low whisper of God, the still small voice, as some put it, we got to turn it off. We got to stop. Now, question for you. Do you know how noise-canceling headphones work? I honestly didn't. All I knew is we had some at home, and we need to put batteries in it if it's going to cancel out any noise. But I read more of the technicalities about it, so I'm going to read what the company Bose says about their noise-canceling headphones. Here's the process. So don't get lost here. I'll explain the gist of it in a second. Noise-canceling headphones monitor sound around you, preventing the unwanted noise from ever reaching your ears. There's actually these miniature microphones inside of your headphones or like the little earbuds that listen to the outside noise frequencies, and they emit the exact opposite signal, and they effectively cancel it out, which both sets of sound coming in when the sound waves collide. So for a simple guy like me, here's what that meant. Basically, you turn on extra sound to cancel out unwanted sound. And do we do that in our life? Yeah. Yeah. We're constantly turning on sound to cancel out sound. You're having a hard day. Noise. You just got in a fight with someone that you love. Noise. You don't know what the future holds. Noise. Right? We drown out the hard things in life with noise. And we're guilty of it. And adding noise not only prolongs us dealing with a situation, but it actually keeps us from the source of hope. It keeps us from the best thing we need, and that's time with God. Because God knows our yesterdays, our todays, and tomorrow. He knows what the future holds. And rather than turning something on to distract ourselves, what we need to do is silence everything, feel the weight of it, but don't just sit there as a glutton for punishment. But be with the one who gives us hope and healing beyond it. I love what Pastor Chuck Smith says about Jesus getting away to spend time in silence and solitude. He says, "Now all I can say is this. If Jesus, as the Son of God, felt the necessity of prayer, who do you think you are to get by without praying? If he, being the Son of God, felt it a necessary part of life, surely it ought to be a very necessary part of our lives." Right? Like, who are we? And it's not like we in here think we're better than Jesus. I think, honestly, we were just oblivious to some spiritual sides of our life. We're just oblivious. And so God has to take hold of us to focus us on what is most important, what is most crucial for us in our days. Back when I used to play more basketball, I entered into what was called the Blacktop Battle. And this was a 3-on-3 basketball tournament that would take place outside of the Houston Rockets Arena in downtown Houston. And during the course of those games, you don't have the best referees, let's just say that. And some people get away with some crazy stuff. And during one of those games, I had a guy constantly fouling me. And at one point, he went for a steal, hit my arm, took the ball, and I'm like, seriously? This is just going to keep happening? And my anger rose to that point. You know that point? That point where you're just like, if one more thing happens, I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. And I was at that point. Now, I didn't say any words. But my teammates could see this crazy, they probably wouldn't like this, but this crazy angry face I was making at the time. Afterwards, one of my friends said, "I've never seen so many veins pop out of somebody's neck." I was like, wow, I must have been pretty mad because I felt it. And to make matters worse, if anything went down, I was wearing a t-shirt that had Jesus carrying a cross on the back. Whew. I didn't react. No punches were thrown. And I really think the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. Well, soon after that game, I realized I needed to take a break from basketball. I needed to step away from playing a game and get my heart right. And it wasn't immediately that diagnosis was known to me, but it was through spending time with God, knowing my heart's not in the right place. I can't go play competitively the game of basketball, and I just need to get my heart right, to be more patient, to have greater self-control. Because seriously, if a game is going to cause us to lose our mind, what's more valuable, right? The relationships we have? Or, I mean, even beyond a game. If something you're discussing that, I mean, it's just like, you know, the towels, where they go in the kitchen. If the towels are going to make you more upset and frustrated and cause an issue to come up between your spouse or a friend, whatever it might be, is it really that serious? Is your heart not more valuable? Is that relationship not more valuable? Should you take time away and say, man, I just need to get with God. I need to get right. My heart is not right. I'm losing self-control. And there's some stuff, maybe some stuff unbeknownst to you, that is in your life that's causing you to fire off at every person you come across. What do you need to give to God? Jesus was incredible for knowing the state of his inner person. He especially knew when he was feeling low. We know that in Isaiah 53. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. This was known to him. This was prophesied about him. He didn't dismiss it. He didn't push it down. He didn't shove it. He He knew it, and he dealt with it. He knew he daily needed to build himself up and spend time with his Heavenly Father. Commentator Dr. Thomas Constable says this, "The mainspring of Jesus' life was his communion with God. And in such communion, he found both strength and guidance." Now, there's a particular group I want to speak to in the room here because I, being one of them, know the struggle it is to build up our inner person. So men, could I have your ear right now? We are really, really good. Maybe you wouldn't say this to you, but I think we're really good at building up our body and our mind. But one of the things we struggle with the most is building up our inner person. And here's what Ephesians 3 says about our inner person. Ephesians chapter 3 says that the inner person, the spiritual part of us, is strengthened by the Holy Spirit so that we might be filled with the fullness of God. It's Ephesians 3:19. That you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, if that just sounds like some spiritual talk, here's what I'm saying. Being filled with the fullness of God gives you capacity to do more than what you could do on your own. It gives you ability to go beyond and push beyond and have self-control in areas where you'd normally fall to. And what it does for us is it helps us manage our temper. It helps us make better decisions than just these impulsive, dumb decisions sometimes we make. It helps us lead our family better. And most of all, it makes us more like Jesus. When we build up our inner man, not just our muscles, not just our mind, but build up the inner person, he helps us with our job, with our family, with our schedule, whatever you're pursuing in life, men, he helps us in those areas. Because I have talked to far too many guys who are going to the wrong source. They're going to the wrong source. They're trying to fix their life by going to what is worldly, what will fade, what will never bring them strength and the ability to be like Jesus. Or for some men who have just kind of quit on life, they're going to the wrong source. They're cheating themselves out. They're robbing themselves. But Jesus wants to fill us as men and restore us and give us capacity to be like the one who has infinite capacity, infinite self-control, and infinite knowledge of who he is. He wants that for us. And one of the greatest ways, this is for all of us, to get clarity about our life is to just stop. The scriptures say to be still and know that he's God, meaning knowing he is in control and we aren't. Being still. And so we have to get away from the noise. We have to get away from the distractions. We have to be with God. And so silence and solitude does the job of building up our inner person. Now, what do we do with all this? So in Donald Whitney's book, he gives a few practical examples. The first is this. He recommends to take minute retreats. So if you got a notepad, you got notes in your phone, put this down. Take minute retreats. What this is taking brief moments throughout the day and turning off all the noise. So say you're in the car, you're at the stoplight, you need to be, you know, whatever you're doing, listening to something, on the phone with somebody. Just say, hey, give me a minute. Just stop at the stoplight, stop the conversation real quick, mute them, don't tell them, just mute them, and just be still until the light turns green. Then say, hey, sorry about that. Hey, what were you saying? Or just turn off the music just for brief moments. Have ways practically throughout your day where you see something and whatever that is, boom, triggers that reminder for you to silence all the noise. Another way of doing this is just find ways at work. If you're in the workforce, find ways to just get away. Go to the restroom. Go where nobody else is in your office. If you're at home, just go find that place to be in silence and solitude and take that break. Even if you're not having deep thoughts about anything, that can be okay. just take a break. Some of us that are more type A, we just need to take that break. It's a good thing. Second thing he recommends is have your getaways. This would be finding a time to spend hours or possibly a day away from the noise and getting alone to be with our Bible, journal, and our determination to focus on God. And one of the things that I think is really helpful that Donald Whitney recommends is he says when you do this, have a schedule that you kind of stick to. Have a plan. What are you going to look at in Scripture? What are some things on the table right now for you that you're trying to figure out in life? What's ahead? What are you feeling? What have your relationships been like? Is there something you've been praying about? Have that written down in like a little, you know, just a little notebook. And pray through those things. Go through those things. Give those things to the Lord. One thing that's not in my notes here is that Donald Whitney says the people who have had the greatest success spend a lot of time away from others in deep thought. And this is true for the Christian. If you're going to be effective with people, you got to be away from people to prepare. And so he recommends these things. Some ideas for you: go to a coffee shop, get away, find a time in your schedule throughout the day, go to a coffee shop and do this. Go to a public library, those still exist, right? Go find one, tuck yourself away, spend time with the Lord in silence. If you're married with young children, ask your spouse to watch the kids and just go, get away. If you're a single parent, there's still hope for you with this. We have parents' night outs. Schedule. Plan to be at those. Drop your kid off. Find a babysitter. There's always a way, no matter what your life is like, to get away, to have silence and solitude and be with God. Third and last thing is have your consistent place. Have your place. Pick it out. Think about where it is in the house. Think about where it is at work. Find that place. And have that quiet time with God. Have your devotional time with God. Donald Whitney says that the people he knows who've made the most rapid, consistent, and evident growth in Christlikeness are those who've developed daily time to be alone with God. He uses this fitness analogy, which I think is helpful. He says here that the person who rarely exercises struggles with brief climbs upstairs and a mile run. That would be me. The one who jogs every day has no trouble with either. And the same is true with those who daily spend time with God. He or she can enjoy both the minute retreats and the long periods of silence and solitude. Do you hear what he's recommending? There's this one word that comes to mind. It'd be this: frequency or consistency. This is huge for the Christian. If we're daily, if we're thinking about each and every day, and each and every day has enough problems of his own, as the word says, then we need that time. We need that space. We need to be filled up so that we can go in and have focus on the things of God. So today, however Jesus is calling you to respond, answer that call. Listen, hear him. Say, God, I'm going to lay this down before you. And Lord, I want to be open-handed. I don't want to be tight-fisted, holding on to what I think I need to hold on to. But Jesus, work in me and help me be a person that spends time with you, that spends time just like you spent time with your Heavenly Father. Now today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to offer you a chance to receive his forgiveness, his eternal life, and a relationship with him. Here's how that's done. It's through the message of the gospel. And the gospel is this. I want to be very clear on the gospel message. The gospel is this, that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life for you. You couldn't do it. That's why he did. He lived that perfect life, and he died on the cross to pay for your sins. If you've ever had a moment where you thought you had to do more good than bad, that comes from the twistedness in our broken world. Jesus pays for your sin so that you don't have to be good enough or measure up, but Jesus was good enough, and he went to the cross, covering your sins, offering you that forgiveness, and resurrected from the grave, conquering sin and death, because one day we will all pass from this life into the next, and we'll be before him. And I want each and every one of us in here to know without a doubt, we have given our life to Jesus. Jesus is first priority in our life. and we've made him our sole focus in our job, our family, whatever it is. So today, if you've not made that decision and you're here in person, come find me. Come find Jim. We love to pray with you and talk to you about how to have a personal walk with Jesus. If you're joining us online, you can text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen, and we love to talk to you about how to have a relationship with Jesus. Would you all go to the Lord with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you for just your consistency in our life. God, you have always been present. You have always been available. And God, sometimes we have just distracted ourselves with noise, with other priorities, with things that we have elevated above you. And God, today, if we're honest, we have not repented of that. Lord Jesus, right now in this room, I pray you would show us our heart. Help us to be honest before you. And just give you ourselves. God, help us stop wasting time trying to do life on our own. Lord, free us and set us free into the life you desire for us. And God, for those that don't know you today, I pray you would work on their heart and draw them to yourself. That they would say an everlasting yes to you. And that salvation, that relationship, that forgiveness of sin, he would say, it's done. It is finished. I've given it to you. I will never revoke it from you. There is no amount of evil you can do to outweigh my grace upon you. Lord Jesus, remind us of these truths. God, draw hearts to yourself. And help us to be more like you. Jesus, we love you. Move in this time, we pray.